Season 1, Episode 3, on an inauspicious morning following an inauspicious game.
I think you're being too generous in describing the game.
Well, I was going to start out by saying there's so much negativity we're going to discuss today that I just wanted to say, boy, I am the world's biggest fan of Brandon Nimmo as far as I'm concerned. He's a hero, not to mention J.D. Davis. And what the hell were they doing not starting him 2 days ago and letting him pinch hit as his first return at bat?
Well, that's good, Jeff, that you are right out of the gate looking for something good to talk about.
I've got nothing else.
No, there's more, but we should get all the negativity out.
No. Yes, I'll tell you what's more is McGill. A big surprise.
And
was it the two of you who were bad-mouthing me, or was it another Mets fan friend of mine when I suggested, this number one draft pick? Maybe he's going to be great, maybe he's not, but the heck with it. Bring him up to the Mets. Let him start. We need a starter. We don't have DeGrom. We don't have Carrasco right now. Let somebody who's 6 feet four and got this amazing strikeout to nine inning ratio and who's 230 pounds and he looks like a major league player to me. What do you have to lose? And the answer, of course, is, from a bean counter's standpoint, you lose control over a certain number of years or what. Either you're a baseball owner that wants to win now, or you're somebody who says, oh, if I keep him in the minors for a few more years, I can save $1 million.
Are you talking about the current draft?
Yeah. What's his name? Rocket? Yeah, or he's got Rocket, he's actually got a cool baseball name.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but listen, I have been impressed with McGill essentially every time he's pitched, even though he's had his moments. He seems really poised and cool under pressure, and he's got to learn how to be a major league pitcher.
Absolutely, but you know what?
Those
moments you refer to are in games the Mets won every single game he started,
except
yesterday,
right. Yeah.
where he got his best performance.
Exactly,
but that's par for the course for us, I guess.
Yeah. Listen, you know, as a Met fan, you live somewhere between hope and despair. It's just a question of where you are in the continuum. And, I think, we've been more on the hopeful side than on the despair side most of the year. It is, the 18th of July? They're still hanging on to first place.
Yeah, but is this going to be our final podcast when they're in
No. I don't think so. I really don't. When you look at this year, it's a lot of what is ahead of us is exactly what we've done so far, right? So we've had a lot of starters who didn't start, and we've had a lot of bench players that have had to carry the team along with the pitching. I think we're facing our biggest challenge right now, but I still think there's a lot more depth on this team than we've had since I can't remember when. So Lindor, if you're truly honest about Lindor, he hasn't contributed much. I don't think it's a big loss there. You were hopeful that he was going to, start piling it on. But, in terms of the wins that they've had, Lindor has had little to do with it. DeGrom is obviously, your biggest worry spot. And I think the bullpen in the last 8 to 10 days has been suspect for the first time all year.
Well, I disagree with that. I think that there is an obsession, and I mentioned this before, that Rojas has of getting Miguel Castro into every single game. And I don't think he's ever known where he's been trying to throw the ball. And I think that my fear is that Diaz is coming back to form, back to 2020 form or 2019 form, actually. I do think that Seth Lugo's stint last night, his two-thirds of an inning, was an aberration. I mean, the guy's just been too consistently good for us. It happened to be an aberration at a really despairing time. I mean, look, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Mets have a tradition of losing to last place teams. They excel at that. But this last week of taking a 5-0 lead and blowing it and taking a 6-0 lead and blowing it, it's just unforgivable. And I got to tell you something else. Friday, the San Diego Padres beat the Washington Nationals 24-8. And if it hadn't been for a bunch of for a shootout in the parking lot in the sixth inning of their game yesterday, the Padres were en route to a 10-plus run win over the Nationals. That game will be concluded this afternoon. The reason I bring this up is because the Mets, that, not necessarily last night. Last night was all J.D. Davis's offense. But they have this habit of scoring 5 runs in the first inning, which they did last week, and then just sit out on the beach for the rest of the game. You have to look at a team like the Padres and say every inning's a new inning and our job is to score runs and we're going to be every bit as mean. We don't need, you know, Mr. Alonso being the head of the New York Mets social club every time an opposing player gets to first base. I know a lot of first basemen do that.
Yeah, he's trying to emulate Freddie Freeman, you know.
Right, but you know what? He has yet to demonstrate Freddie Freeman's talent or consistency over a period of time.
Don't hit into a double play, you know, every single time in the first half of the game when you could not get support.
How many ground balls is he going to hit? And it was really, I mean, somewhat disgusting to watch this guy with his braggadocio, with his, you know, big, I'm the great, and he said, I'm the best power hitter in the game this year. You know what? If somebody pitches 50 mile an hour pitches to me down the middle of the plate, I might be able to hit some home runs.
Yeah. Win a playoff game, you know?
Yeah. And listen, the whole thing, and you said exactly what I feel about Lindor, which is that, you know, putting aside the fact that he's ours for the next 10 years, I feel today, right now, given the history of Lindor this year, I feel 100% more comfortable with Guillaume, both at the plate and in the field.
Yeah. And listen,
shortstop.
You put Davis in that lineup, you take Lindor out, you basically have an upgrade.
Absolutely. Guillaume is a clutch hitter, and that's what we don't have. How many batters, how many runners have we left on base just in the last 2 games alone?
Well, Friday night they get 8 walks and can't score a run off of any of 8 walks. They get 3 hits in a game in which they have 8 walks, and I think they left 12 men on base, 0 for 12. Go ahead. It's just
Pittsburgh starters Friday and Saturday had ERAs of in excess of 4, and we make them look like Cy Young Award winners.
Yeah, we have a long history of making either, you know, brand new rookie pitchers look like they're Cy Young, or we resurrect pitching careers. You know, we've got a long history of that. But, you know, listen, big picture, right? Where we are on July 18th is, you know, we're in a bit of a slide. We have, again, some injuries. We're still in first place. But, you know, I think if you do shore up the pitching, because that is really the other half of the secret sauce, right? We have our bench to thank for being in first place, and we have, you know, really decent starting pitching and consistent relieving for the first half of the year. That's got to be the formula. There's no chance that the wild card comes from the East. You know, you've got to win this division. You've got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You know, we're not playing Pittsburgh anymore this year, thank goodness. And, you know, you've got 2 winning teams up next week. And, you know, for me, this is the true test of how the rest of the season is going to go. When we spoke last time, Jeff, you were hoping for a sweep. I was hoping for, you know, at least series victories. We got neither.
I'm surprised it's not a sweep with Pittsburgh coming out on top.
This could be on the second half of the series. But, you know, get that out of the way, regroup. And you know, listen, even Conforto hit 2 doubles last night, and McNeil's been, you know, getting I would say hot, but you know, returning to some form. So you've got an offense. They're just not hitting it at the clutch spots that they need to.
Yeah, I haven't given up at all on McNeil. I think that, as you just pointed out, he's starting to show signs of life. And the last 2 years, he's batted like 316, 317 combined. And then Conforto, I agree with you. As hapless as he's been looking this year, he is a guy who we've been able to reliably count on for a number of years now. And I'm not going to give up on him. The one we can't rely on, and the one whose lifetime batting average isn't that impressive to begin with, is Lindor. But he's benched now. So for possibly the rest of the season, but certainly until September.
Yep.
Jason, you say regroup. So is that a psychological thing? Is it a management thing? Is it, you know, is it something else?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. You know, again, it's hard to know what's really going on and what's really the thoughts in that dugout. But when you have the best player on your team who has not been able to stay healthy all year long, which is DeGrom, you know, as great as he's pitching, he may well not qualify for Cy Young consideration.
I was telling somebody that yesterday, too.
Yeah, if he doesn't get his innings in. He's got 92 innings. You know, it's great work for 92 innings, but, you know, that's a big unknown. And, you know, as we said, we've got consistent lack of starters being able to stay in the lineup. So I really do think for me, in the last 5 days, 6 days, it's really been the bullpen that, you know, that had the bullpen start just before the All-Star break, which looked good for the first two innings and then progressively fell apart. That was the 5-0 lead that dissipated over the game. And then last night, you know, there wasn't anyone coming out of the bullpen that could throw a strike. And it wasn't just one guy. They were either throwing meatballs or balls.
Yeah, you're right. And that also unnerves me somewhat. That's the other reason why I like McGill as much as I do. He throws strikes. Everybody else nibbles the plate to death and walks people. And that includes some of our starters. You know, there's no reason why Walker or Stroman shouldn't be able to get deeper into the games as starters. The only reason is they're throwing too many pitches.
Pitch count.
I mean, that's it plagued DeGrom this year to a certain extent, but not in the past. He knew how to get deep into games. And that worries me a little bit. I'll tell you something else. The other reason why I don't rue the fact that Lindor is now, sitting on the bench is because it also drove me nuts how, you know, he had to be involved in everything except producing hits. He had to have his arm, or he would go to the mound and he would put his arm around the pitcher and the catcher and the man. He was putting his arms around everybody. You know what you need? First of all, he needs to lead by example, not by friendship. And the other thing is, I want to see more of what Stroman is. Enjoying every time he gets a strike call, going nuts when he doesn't. And he's the best team player because he does it from the mound. And when he sees somebody do something wonderful, he expresses it without having to jump on top of them and put their arms around them and comfort them. We need people like that, people who are team players, but by example. Not by,
Lindor's about, you know, compensation. He's been trying to compensate for lack of performance, you know, exhibiting what he thinks is, you know, these leadership qualities. But, yeah, do it on the field. Go out and do your work. And if it's not coming together, you know, get there early, stay late. And, that's the best way to be a leader on a team, you know, so, as opposed to somebody like Alonso, who, you know, listen, he gets his work done, but it's all about him. It's I'm great. I'm doing these things, you know, all the fist pumping. I could do without all of that.
Guys
like Nimmo, who, you know, when he gets a walk, he's tearing ass down.
Absolutely.
That's what we need on this team.
Yep. And I'm a little worried. I'm not even giving up, but I'm a little worried about the season that that Dom Smith is having. He seems to be lost. Not defensively, although he did kind of dribble a ball yesterday, but defensively he's been pretty strong. But he used to, I mean, last year he was dynamite. I know it was a 60-game fake season, but he's got a lot of potential. What, you know, there's only 12 more days before the trade deadline. It repulses me to see everybody, you know, bandying about names like Chris Bryant. We don't need, you know, starting eight players. I mean, we need our starting eight players to perform, but we don't need to. You mentioned bench mobs are, you know, we've got those players. We need, you know, I've been talking for weeks now about how do we put together a trade with the last place Texas Rangers to get their hot, you know, smoking starting pitcher over here. We need a starting pitcher. And that was before DeGrom went down. I'm telling you, right now, I'd re-sign for $500,000 Bartolo Colon. I mean, he's pitching in the Mexican leagues. Why not?
Well, you know, one thing we did talk about on last podcast was Adam Frazier, which, you know, I brought up as, you know, one of these trade rumor guys. And you made the same point. We need pitching. We're okay with hitting. But I will say, watching him for the last 7 days, you know, I would love to have that guy on my team. Yeah, defensively good, and God, the guy knows how to hit the ball.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, now that Lindor is not going to be starting for a while, I have the only place in our lineup today that I don't have. I know we have a 4-year commitment, so you kind of have to eat it, much like Lindor's 10-year commitment. But I've lost a lot of faith in McCann, both offensively and defensively. And I wish Nimmo were playing a little more often.
Yeah. Nito, you mean?
I'm Nito. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention McCann, too. He's, you know, he's been inconsistent would be too kind a word. You know, he's had flashes, but mostly mediocrity. You know, defensively holding his own, but that's not why we brought him onto this team.
And even though I'd prefer to see a little bit more of Nito, we don't have a Guillorme, you know, quality backup for catcher. Right. So I am a little unnerved by that, but somebody's got to catch.
Yeah. And listen, if the other seven guys are doing what they need to do, that'll be okay. And you hope that, you know, whatever's holding him back or creating that inconsistency gets worked out as he gets more comfortable. But, you know, right now, particularly if you look at the first half, there were a couple of weeks stretches where he was, you know, he played an important role. It's just not consistent. So, yeah, I agree. I think, you know, trade deadline's important for this team. I think it's going to, you know, give us a quick sense of the kind of ownership that Cone is going to bring. Is he, you know, Steinbrenner kind of guy, which is win no matter what it costs, make the moves that take a lot of guts to make, or is he going to, you know, play around the margins and, you know, do something, but not necessarily something that's going to, you know, turn a tide. So that's important. And, you know, hopeful it's the latter, not the former.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that is that if we are talking about starting eight type people, I you look at, you know, our new first round draft pick aside, you look at our hottest minor leaguer, I believe, is our the that kid at shortstop. He's the hottest name that we've got. He's the Roberto is his name. I can't remember right now, but you know, he's the one we wanted to protect. Why are we protecting him? Lindor's got a 10-year deal, and we have a great backup in Guillorme. Why don't we package something around him for starting pitching? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be. Listen, you got to hope with what's happened in the last week. That's the conversations that are starting to happen up at the GM's office. You know, other than the fact that the black jerseys are being returned. I mean, I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about who they're going after.
Absolutely,
help this team.
Absolutely. Although I do prefer the black jerseys to every other uniform they wear.
Okay, well, then you should be happy then. I was ambivalent about the black jerseys, but if you look at Twitter, it seems like it's split right down the middle.
I got to tell you, I am so I think it's unforgivable that their colors are blue and orange. Why do we keep saluting the two teams that will crush us in the playoffs? You know what? The Dodgers left Brooklyn 60 years ago. It's time to put that nostalgia behind us.
And you're not a big fan of San Francisco colors, with the orange.
Oh, I don't even think blue and orange work as a combination.
It's the Islanders color, so if only geographic consistency.
I defer to your better judgment since I'm not a hockey guy. So
Let me ask you about somewhat of a non-baseball issue with this team, but potentially having a baseball effect, which is this vaccine hesitancy on the part of the New York Mets.
I don't see it as a baseball issue. It's a much bigger issue.
It's not a baseball issue, although, with the bad luck that the Mets do have on all things relating to baseball, when one or two of their non-vaccinated, all-stars or clutch players go down, the end of September and have to be quarantined for, 14 days before they can get back on the field, it quickly becomes a baseball issue for this type of a ball game.
Sure. I'm not even sure how to address the question intelligently, because the obvious answer is, there's no issue. They should 100% of the New York Mets should be vaccinated to avoid. And you know what? I'll be a conspiracy theorist for a second. All the Yankees that tested positive for COVID, I know there are breakthrough cases, but the team stated, oh no, they were all vaccinated. I don't know that I believe statements like that.
Well, listen, I don't understand why Major League Baseball simply says, this is required. Unless there's a medical reason to opt out, this is
right.
Required.
They are actually offering for free vaccines to fans attending their games, plus a free ticket to a future game. So why can't they do the same thing to their play? The players don't make enough money as it is.
Yeah, bizarre. Yeah, again, not a lot of baseball going on over the last 10 days. And so, that took hold, especially when they had to cancel the Yankee game on Thursday. Like, hey, I wonder what would happen to the Mets if they had only to find out that they didn't meet the 85% threshold set up by Major League Baseball. It's like one of seven teams.
Hey, is today's Pittsburgh game a turning point in any way? If they lose, does that mean anything?
For me, it's not, but it's a good question. For me, it's like they're on a slide. You never know you're done with your slide until you're done with your slide. So they have Walker going today. It's the best next thing on this team next to DeGrom. So every expectation is this is an important game. They have to win. I don't look at it that way. It's a shit series, excuse my French. They haven't performed. They didn't go into the break on a high. They haven't come out of the break on a high. But they've got Cincinnati and Toronto coming up in the next six games, and I think that's more the true measure of how the rest of the season will go. Like Jeff has said before, you could lose four games at the end of the season to the last place Miami team. I think they were the Florida Marlins back then, and get knocked out of the playoffs or what have you. And, that's just going to be one of these series. I've got my eyes, not on Pittsburgh at this point, but every expectation that they're going to win today.
And I agree completely with Jason about this, the pivotal significance, potential significance of today's game. As far as I'm concerned, that's not as big an issue of we need to start sustaining wins. Tomorrow we start a series with Cincinnati. So it'll be easy to forget about today's game, whether it's a victory or a loss. You've got to focus on it's
I was really thinking psychologically for the team, you know.
If they lost tonight, and of course I hope they win, but if they were to lose today, I think it's actually going to be easier for them to consider it a tragically lost weekend and to start anew. Because there's winning today is a consolation prize, and nobody wants a consolation prize.
For me, I would just like to see I'd like to see a win, but you know, absent that, you know, give me a well-pitched game, a well-played game.
No, give me 10 runs. We've seen enough well-pitched games.
Yeah, well, true, but you know, to me, I have confidence, for the second half in our offense. I have question marks in our pitching right now, and you know, I'm not despairing. I just have this question marks. You know, there's some opportunities for improvement. And if they don't pull off a trade, you know, this is the team we're going to war with. I want to see those pitchers come out in the second half and do what they did in the first half. In the last 7 days, they haven't showed that.
Well, especially not the relievers.
All right.
Okay, well, here's hoping for a well-pitched game with 10 runs.
The thing that would make me most happy today is to see Walker go 7 innings plus.
Oh, wow, now that's a throwback.
Yeah, but that's what we need, because there's a
starting
can't rely on that
going 7? Wow.
Can't rely on our bullpen. It's up to, you know, not to put – it shouldn't be additional pressure to ask your starter to pitch 7 innings. It just shouldn't.
In order to do that, they have to – it's a brand-new concept in baseball. It's called throwing strikes.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about
offense,
that before. You can't go 0-2 and start mumbling and throw another 5 pitches, and that's what happens.
Let them put the ball in play. You've got an offense. You've got a defense. Throw strikes.
And next time we talk, we can talk about shift. The Mets lost 5 base, gave up 5 base hits to the shift yesterday.
Right.
Now,
and yet
the fact
they
that
themselves
they,
came.
I was saying, right. They seem not to be able to exploit it. It worked for the Pittsburgh Pirates, but the Mets gave up 5 hits yesterday to the shift.
Yeah. I really think if you're going to get a hitting coach that's going to be effective in Major League Baseball right now, it's the hitting coach that takes the shift away from the imposing team.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas.
All right, boys.
Thanks as usual. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Look forward to it. All right. Take care, Jack. Take care, Mark.
Okay. Take care.